You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. eSurance, insurance for the modern world. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance. I'm Holden Kushner. Today I'm joined by Jeff Nelson. Blue Jays were on their way to losing a third straight game to the Braves, and a couple of late-inning incidents saw the benches clear twice, and Nelly and I discussed who was at fault. It's gone final. Atlanta beat Toronto 8-4. Freddie Freeman left this game with a hand injury. He was hit in the hand with a pitch. With that being said, when he left the game, the guy that replaced him at first was Jace Peterson, and he got into it with Jose Bautista, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go back a couple of incidents in this game. Let's talk about the quick pitch here for a second. He got really upset. I've seen batters get really bent out of shape about getting quick pitched. Last time I checked, it's not illegal to quick pitch. Is that correct?
I'd say that's a big hang with him right there. Yeah, you know, I don't. It's not illegal. You see a number of pitchers do it. You know, they do anything to try to deceive the hitter or you know, sneak one by him. And sometimes they just don't lift their leg. They'll go right away. And a lot of them will do it with men on base. I mean, with nobody on base, with runners on, they call it a slide step because you're trying to quicken your move to home in order for the runners not to get great jumps and your catcher to be able to throw the guy out at the base. But when nobody's on, you do a slide step and you don't lift your leg. It's all trying to get the hitters out of their rhythm. You know, all the hitters, they gear themselves on the leg kick. You know, this is how they get their rhythm. When a pitcher goes up, if they have a short leg kick, long leg kick, or whatever it is, you know, that's how they gear their stance and they start moving at the plate to get ready to hit the ball. It's been going on for years. You know, I used to do it with guys who hitters that had leg kicks. You know, the ones you see the hitters that they're lifting their leg almost like a pitcher, not as high, but to get into that rhythm of swinging. If I slide step, I don't care with anybody on base. Ruben Sierra back in the day had a huge leg kick. Well, guess what? You know, I might be throwing 93, 94 miles an hour, but he's gearing his rhythm off of my leg kick, and as soon as he starts lifting his leg, I'm going to quick pitch him. I'm going to slide step when nobody's on base. You sneak them by him. I don't care if they don't like it or not. Hey, you're trying to hit me. I'm trying to get you out. You know, that's just part of the game. It's not illegal. It's a slide step with nobody on base, and they just call it a quick pitch because nobody's on base.
All right, so a couple innings later, you've got Jose Bautista at the plate. Listen, this is what Bautista does. He rubs some guys the wrong way. Jace Peterson, you're not Jose Bautista. Bautista's been in this game a long time. He's done what he's done. I have no problem with the bat flips. Obviously, there are still players that do. Personally, I think Peterson should shut his mouth at this point, because this should be an accepted part of the game. For him, it's not. Freddie Freeman was in the game, we wouldn't have this problem because Freddie Freeman wouldn't have said anything. What's your take on that?
I don't have a problem with the bat flips either. You know, he flipped it, but one thing he did do is he ran. You know, he didn't jog around the bases. He didn't take his time. He flipped the bat a little bit. He crushed the ball. You know, if you crush the ball, enjoy it. But you know what? As soon as he flipped the bat, he ran. And then he did hesitate a little bit because Jace Peterson ran his mouth. You know, just shut up and just let him run around the bases. You're already winning. And I think that was the whole deal between Bautista and Suzuki when he got to the plate. I think there was a little misunderstanding between both of them. If you could see both Suzuki mentioned and motioned to his side, and same with Bautista, mentioned to his side, this isn't a bench clearing issue. And even the umpire, Brian Onora, said the same thing, tried to mention to both sides before they cleared the dugouts, and it wound up being a bench clearing. Nothing happened. But you know what? Bautista does this just like you mentioned, and he bat flips. So what? Who cares? You know, it doesn't matter. Well, I mean, it was no harm, no foul. He ran. And he didn't jog around the bases. He ran around the bases.
Yeah, and Jace Peterson, come on. Give me a break.
Exactly.
What are you doing here? Not to say Jace Peterson bad guy or anything, but you know, you're a utility man on one of the worst teams in baseball. You know, you're over at first base because Freddie Freeman got hurt. You know, shut up and do your job.
You get about 5 or 6 years in the big leagues, and then maybe you can say something.
Yeah,
don't
he said
be a
two full seasons.
Big league player and then pop off.
Yeah, just stop it already. So, yeah, and by the way, the final score here tonight, it was a nice win for the Atlanta Braves. So congratulations to them, and 8-4. And we got a game coming up between these two teams tomorrow, the last in the four-game set. And the Braves have won the first three in this four-game series. So everything good that was going on with the Blue Jays, a five-game win streak, throw it out the door. You got Marcus Stroman and Julio Teheran. A really good pitching matchup tomorrow night. Do you think this carries over?
Maybe a little bit. You know, Inciarte took a ball, a little chin music. It wasn't, I don't think, anything intended. You know, he didn't like being thrown inside. None of these hitters liked being thrown inside now. I mean, it's just ridiculous. They all react to anything that comes close to them. It might be a little bit. You might see it more on the Braves side as far as maybe throwing inside on Batista. But don't let him take you deep again, because he's going to make it even worse. And that's how hitters, and especially Jose, I mean, he'll rub it in even more. So you better be able to either hit him or get him out. But it may. It has a chance to carry over tomorrow. They don't see each other anymore, so why not?
Yeah, just one. Why not? And you got a couple of good pitchers on the mound, too. So I'm actually
– Well, this is a must-win. I mean, you got to break this streak. You can't lose four in a row to the Braves. I mean, they haven't been playing very well, and they're going to wind up being in the bottom half of that division or bottom and – you know, maybe fighting for last place in the NL East. And, you know, the Blue Jays, they started playing well for a little bit until they hit the Braves.
I'm just going to give you some Nimrod analysis here, but it's also accurate. These two teams stink. All right. They're two of the worst teams in baseball. The Braves are playing good baseball now, though. They've won 5 of 6. And the Blue Jays have dropped to 17-24. And they just lost 3 in a row to the Braves. So let's settle down, you guys, you two teams. This is not the World Series. Nobody's getting buzzed. Freddie Freeman got hit by a pitch on his hand where he was basically swinging.
There was no intent there.
No, he started his swing, and Pillar's upset about a quick pitch. Grow up, man. And Jace Peterson, be quiet. There's a whole bunch of garbage that has gone on in this game. There was no reason for the benches to clear either time. Maybe it's just two teams that are frustrated with the standings, even though the Braves are playing good baseball. Maybe that's what it is, but stop it. It's silliness. It's absolute silliness. This public service message made to you from a guy sitting in his basement. I'm standing with a headphone on.
You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance, and we'll be right back with more after this.
Catch tomorrow's baseball starts today with Minor League Baseball on TuneIn. Throughout the season, listen live to the home calls of more than 160 minor league teams. From Class A to AAA games all across the country. With Minor League Baseball on TuneIn, hear top prospects take the field before they get called up. Listen in as players work their way back to Major League Baseball during rehabilitation starts. And catch your favorite minor league players and your favorite teams in action, including Tim Tebow. Listen to Minor League Baseball all season long on TuneIn.
This is the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Jeff Nelson.
It's now time for the MLB At The Plate Triple Play, which is where Nelly and I discuss three topics that interest us. Tonight, our Triple Play consists of the Mets issues and Terry Collins, Andrew McCutchen's recent struggles this season, and who the second best player in baseball is behind Mike Trout.
The MLB At The Plate Triple Play, presented by eSurance.
This has been a disastrous road trip for the Mets. They have lost every single game, and the bad news continues to come, and usually they bounce right back from it. Not this time. Nelly, that is a team that is on the ropes right now.
It is. They lost 6 in a row. And you know, you look at Harvey, he can't put things together. I know he gave up the 1 in the first and then 2 in the third, but you walk 4 guys, and he only throw 95 pitches. I can understand the injury that he had last year. It takes a year to, you know, go to full strength, and it's not even close to a year yet. You know, I still have a lot of faith in him and that he could get his fastball back and could get his confidence back. Right now, the only guy in this rotation is DeGrom, and that's it. The injuries that they have, Cespedes, Syndergaard, you know, they're 9 games behind Washington. And then some of the things, I like Terry Collins. I love this guy, and I think he's done a terrific job. You just have a lot of guys hurt. You look at Cabrera, Drew Cabrera had to go on the DL. Darno, Cespedes, you can just go on. And then their bullpen, Familia, is probably out for the season. So now that pushes everybody back to where they should be. Addison Reed is now your closer. It's just not a good situation. You know, it's tough because in the beginning of the year in spring training, I said, you know what, the Mets, if they can stay healthy, and I think we talked about this during spring training, if they can stay healthy and this rotation could be the best in baseball, I see them either winning the division or at least giving the Nationals a run for their money. I don't know if anybody in that division is giving them a run for the money for the Nationals.
No, I still like the Nationals. Here's the deal, though. The National League, are you sold on Arizona? If you're sold on Arizona, then I think the Mets are in trouble. Or if you're sold on Colorado and Arizona. Either Colorado or Arizona, one of those two teams is going to come back to earth. And I don't think Colorado is going to come back down to earth. I think they're legit. So that'll leave the Dodgers and the Rockies out west. That'll leave the Cardinals and the Cubs in the Central and Washington out east. And basically, you know, I was telling you how I don't like the National League, but that's that right there. The Cubs are going to come back down, back to life. So even if Arizona drops out, you're right. You know, now that I look at the standings, because we talked before the show, I don't like the National League that much. But the Cubs, you would think, are going to get back in it. The right. Dodgers, the Rockies, the Cardinals, the Nationals, and God forbid Arizona stays in this thing, they're going to be the odd man out. So, yes, the Mets need to get it going sooner than later, and it's not looking good for them right now. I'm not counting them out, though. I'm definitely not counting them out. It's just happened so many times.
No, I don't think you count anybody out because it's too early, but the way they've played and the way that their team has just been battered with injuries, you can almost look at the teams, and you just went through them, and this is early. Usually, you usually have a hard time going through a league and picking out certain teams because, by now you're like, oh, you know what, these guys have a chance, these guys have a chance. You have three teams in the West. You have two teams in the Central, and you know what, maybe two teams, and that's given the Mets a chance, you know, in the East. So you do have the Cubs, the Cardinals, you have the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, and the Dodgers. And we'll stick with the Diamondbacks, so maybe they can stay afloat. I'm not sure about the Giants. You know, maybe they have a chance to turn it around. I'm not sure. But, you know, you usually can't do that right now. You usually can't go through a league and say, you know, you got five spots in the playoffs for only seven teams. This is something that you do about the end of August. And right now you can almost do this in the National League.
You know, and then I'm seeing the quotes come out after the game. It's very easy to unravel now, as Terry Collins says. I will not let that happen. You know, there's some managers that speak and they say this and they say that, and I don't buy it. This guy, on multiple occasions last year, basically got this team up from the dead and brought them back to a spot to where they actually played in the wild card game. I am inclined to believe Terry Collins somehow, some way, but this will probably be his most difficult magic trick, because last year they got lucky with Gazelman and Lugo. Right now they don't have Gazelman pitching well. He's in a bullpen. Right. Lugo is hurt. They do have Steven Matz coming around a little bit. Maybe Lugo comes back too. They need those guys sooner than later. It's going to be a very tough road to hoe for Terry Collins and this team, but I do trust him. I do think that there's a guy to get him out of this. It's him.
Oh, I agree. And you know what? I don't like hearing, you know, up in New York, I mean, and even certain other sports stations, they're talking about having Collins' head. Oh, he needs to be fired. You know, you got to get rid of him and bring somebody new in. This guy is taking you to the playoffs, taking you to the World Series a few years ago. He's perfect for the job. Who else is out there for them to go out and try to find to turn this team? You're not going to turn this team around. Even Terry Collins right now, he's got all kinds of faith in these guys. Maybe when they get healthy, they can make a little run. It's not over. I know, okay, it could be 10 games out of first place. They have to get healthy or it will be over. You have to get Harvey pitching well. You have to get somebody else in that rotation. Maybe even a couple bullpen arms to try to back up since you lost your closer. But, you know, he's the right guy. I mean, he's perfect in that clubhouse. They have a good coaching staff. And I do have faith in him as well. You know, I think he has a chance, and he has a lot of confidence in his players. You don't ever see him throw them under the bus. What they did with Harvey, he deserved. They set an example, say, hey, you know what? You respect the team. You put the team ahead of yourself, and he didn't do that at that time. and he paid for it. But Collins is the perfect guy for this situation. If anybody's going to turn the Mets around, it's going to be Terry Collins.
Yeah, and then I'm just, listen, social media is very interesting because you can read what a fan base is thinking pretty easily. And all you got to do is, you know, type in Rafael Montero, and he came in the 11th inning, and he gave up the home run, and all of a sudden it's Terry Collins' fault. You're in the 11th inning. I mean, what's your options in the 11th right at this point? You tell me. Well, it's not Terry Collins wants to put a guy out there with an ERA of 9. What is your options in the 11th? There's not much of them.
No, because you already use your closer, and you're listening to the broadcast, and you're saying, oh, you know, Terry Collins is going against the odds, and they're putting a closer in a tie game. Well, guess what? You really don't have a true closer down there. Addison Reed just became your closer only because Familia's out. You got to go with your best guy because you don't have a lot of options down in that bullpen. You got to try to turn this losing streak around. He would have got ripped, Terry Collins would have, if you didn't put Addison Reed there in the 9th inning, and he also pitched the 10th inning and got it so it could go to the bottom of the 11th. If Addison Reed is still sitting in the bullpen, what do you think the New York media is going to do to Terry Collins? Just rip him apart saying, you know what, you gave your team no shot and trying to end this losing streak. Well, he did. And then you had to go to guys that have 9 ERAs. And why? And you know what? You lost because guys down there after Addison Reed are not throwing well. Probably don't belong in the big leagues. But there's nothing else Terry Collins can do.
No, and he's going to get ripped for this. Why did you put Rafael Montero in there? You can, you know, and this is the best part about this, though. At this point in his career, Terry Collins can actually handle this. You know, you talk to people that Terry Collins was working for a long time, and they were surprised when he got this job because maybe he wasn't the greatest people person. This is a new guy, and he can handle this. This is the guy that you want in there right now because it is the house is on fire. It's burning down, and he kept this team together last year, and I think that he's got a chance to do it once again this year. So, okay, let me ask you this. What percentage of managers stink at handling a bullpen? What do you think? Just off the top of your head.
95% of them.
Okay. Let me just reiterate this. So now I've talked to you, I've talked to LaTroy Hawkins. Two guys, you know, one guy pitched 20-something years. You pitched however long you did. So a long, long time. And then I was just talking to Tanner Roark about this too. He's a starter now at the Nationals. He was in a bullpen for the Nats too. And he said about 90%. So just because Terry Collins doesn't handle a bullpen perfectly, welcome to the club. I mean, just about every single manager makes mistakes in a bullpen. Why don't people realize this? Yes, your manager is not the only one that screws up handling a bullpen on a fairly consistent basis.
And
okay?
The thing of it
There's a lot of them.
Almost, exactly, and it's almost like, you know, you put guys in the right situations to try to succeed. You know, these managers do, because there's all kinds of information out there that never used to be. You know, when Hawk and LaTroy Hawkins and myself played, you know, there was not very much out there as far as for managers to go on as far as, oh, this guy has these kind of numbers, these guys had these kinds of numbers. Plus, the managers went on feel. You know, that's okay. I don't care who's at the plate. I don't care what kind of numbers that this guy has against Jeff Nelson. I'm putting him in because this is the situation he belongs in. And if he doesn't do it, you know what? You know, he doesn't do it. It's usually the bullpen's fault. And plus, back then, they'll run you 3 and 4 days out there. They don't do that now. It's a little bit different. But the bullpen's the toughest. You know, running your bench when you're an American League team and trying to keep your bench players in the game or trying to get them some time is very tough for an American League manager. And then also your bullpen, you know, you're going to screw up. You know, you try your best to put your guys in the right situation. You look at the Yankees right now. I think Joe Girardi does a really decent job of running his bullpen and trying to keep them healthy, put them in the right situations. You know, you lose Chapman now you for a month, and now you have to have Betances, who knows how this guy's going to work out, because last year when he was a closer, he struggled. He may struggle again. You know, who knows? He might not be a 9th inning guy. But all managers like Joe Girardi put their guys in positions to try to succeed, and then the managers take a fall for it because you know, on like this situation with Collins, you know what, I went through my bullpen, now I got to go to guys that are 11th and 12th pitchers down there. I have no choice, and he's going to get reamed for it.
Pittsburgh has been an absolute disaster here. They've lost 7-10. And speaking of the Pirates, Nelly, I mean, it's just gotten downright uncomfortable with Andrew McCutchen because he's just not the player he was I don't know, what is it, a year and a half ago? So Clint Hurdle had to go up to McCutchen after last night's game because he pulled him in a double switch in the eighth inning. I mean, what? Andrew McCutchen got pulled in a double switch in the eighth inning of a game? The numbers are just not there. He's not getting it done. I don't know if he's losing bat speed or not. That's something that only you could tell if you're watching him on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, the Pirates have lost 7-10. He went 0-4 with a K. They double switch him. And, you know, go look at what he's doing now. He's an average player after last year. His on-base plus slugging was .766. Was not Andrew McCutchen like. Now he's hitting .206. I mean, it's at a .280 on-base percentage. He's just not getting it done. It's sad to see.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, in a way, they almost made a mistake by not at least trading him or put, you know, maybe marketing him a little bit heavier in the winter because when his value was up. Now he still leads the team in RBIs, and he still is one, you know, second in home runs. And so I'm a little shocked that Clint Hurdle would do that to a guy that has a chance to hit the ball out of the park. I don't care if you go 0-4 or not. You still, if a guy makes a mistake on the mound, he still has a chance to hit the ball out of the park. Maybe he saw something, Clint Hurdle saw something and said, you know what, I'm just going to give him a rest. He's battling himself. He's losing confidence. Whatever the manager has seen, maybe he saw something right there, said, okay, I got to make that switch. But I don't care if this guy's hitting .206 right now or not. He's still six homers and leading the team in RBIs with 17. Not a whole lot because the team's not hitting well anyway. And, you know, I don't know. I think the Pirates really messed with his mind last year, in the wintertime by saying, okay, we're moving you out of center field, that you're not a great center fielder anymore. We got to put you to a corner spot. And then all of a sudden his name was running through the mill as far as the trade rumors, and that didn't happen. I was really shocked when we came to spring training and next thing you know that he was still a Pirate.
Nelly, I just keep watching Mike Trout, and I say to myself, there's nobody that's even as close to being as great as he is consistently and this year already. But and I'm trying to figure out who the second best player is in baseball because there's a legitimate debate there. I don't think there is a legitimate debate with Mike Trout, okay? I also have a hard time thinking there's a much of a debate with Clayton Kershaw on the pitching side. But, you know, go off the top of your head here because I purposefully did not prep you on this because five guys came in my name. I say second best player in the league. Give me some names and who you think the second best player in baseball is.
Well, I think Harper is probably the second best. I would say Betts is up there. You look at Bogarts. I think he's another one. You look at the positions, you know, center field, shortstop, you know, those guys are usually the best athletes on the team. You know what? Let me see.
Well, Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman. You look at Paul Goldschmidt. You know, Paul Goldschmidt, this guy does it all. Power hits for average, also steals some bases. You have Votto. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Votto. This guy is a tremendous athlete over there. I would have to put Paul Goldschmidt in that conversation with maybe the second best player or up there, maybe top 10 in baseball.
Here's what it came down to for me. It came down to Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Bryce Harper, and Manny Machado. Okay, because I think Freeman is completely overlooked because he's down in Atlanta right now and they stink. But go back to look what he did last year. Now it's a body of work that's pretty big. Bryce Harper has the upside to be the best player in baseball. He could end up having a better year than Mike Trout this year. It's possible because he's so great. He's just not as consistent as Trout, at least not right now. And then there's Manny Machado. I mean, let's not forget what this guy has done the last 2 years, 35 homers, 37 homers. He stole 20 bases in 15. He's not stealing bases this year, but the on-base plus slugging is right up there. He's a remarkable defender. Go to Nolan Arenado. Arenado's got to be in the mix too. There are so many different names, but if I had to go with the second best player in Major League Baseball right now, I think I'd go with Mookie Betts just a hair in front of Bryce Harper. Now, Bryce Harper's having a better season this year, but I'm going to include, you know, last year in the mix as well. And Mookie Betts just does a little bit of everything. He's terrific in the field, right? I mean, he really is a remarkable defender. His OPS is .905 this year. He's hitting for power. He's 7. He had 31 home runs last year. He steals bases. He does everything. You know, Mookie Betts for me is the second best player in Major League Baseball, at least going back to the start of last year.
Yeah, you know, that's a good call. I mean, I like Harper. I mean, you look at Francisco Lindor of Cleveland, the shortstop. You know, this guy is one of the top guys in both leagues. Jose Altuve, you know, look at this guy, 5'6", and I consider him probably one of the top 10 in baseball. You know, Robinson Cano, when he stays healthy, I think this guy's one of the best players in baseball.
Corey Seager, he'll be there
Corey
soon.
Corey Seager is another one. Let me see. You know, I'm sure there's a couple others.
Yeah, we're going to leave some guys out, but I'm just saying, you know,
you look
Mike
at Chris
Trout.
Bryant.
Is,
Chris Bryant could be one of the second best players in the league.
Yep, he won an MVP last year. Let's not forget about him. But I keep going back, and you know, I'm looking at a complete ball player with Mookie Betts. It was why I give him the heads up over Harper. Now Harper again. Harper, by the end of this year, may blow Betts out of the water in every single category except defensively, and they play different positions. But what Mookie brings to the table defensively and in a stolen base department, hits for power, gets on base, just does everything so well. Right now I got Mookie Betts at number two, and I got Harper at number three. And for those of you that are Manny Machado fans and Nolan Arenado fans and Freddie Freeman, you can make the case. Here's the thing about baseball. Right now, you can make the case for about 10 guys, and that's a good thing. That's what we want. We want a whole bunch of good talent in this game. Corey Seager, again, you can bring his name up, and I'm not going to shoot you down whatsoever. There's a lot of guys that are in the mix here for being the second best player in baseball, and I like that. I think baseball is in a good place when you're talking about that, and I'm also glad you brought up Lindor because that kid is spectacular.
Yeah, and it is exciting. I mean, you have teams all over. I mean, you look at the Yankees even now. They're not yet near the top echelon of players with Aaron Judge and Sanchez, but you have some exciting players and teams and some of these guys. If I'm a fan, I'm going out to watch Lindor. I'm going out to watch Mookie Betts, and you know these guys are very exciting. Bryce Harper, I mean, these guys are exciting to watch, and absolutely, baseball's exciting. I mean, it's going in the right direction, and they've got a lot of good young players. Chris Bryant, man, you can't leave this guy out. He's a tremendous athlete.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by Esurance, and we'll be right back with more after this.
Get ready for a full court press on the NBA, pop culture, and a whole lot more with the Two-Man Weave, featuring me, Michael Rappaport, and my man, former NBA All-Star Kenyon Martin. Coming at you live, Ken Martin and I will give you our uncensored take on everything happening around the NBA, plus analysis and commentary on off-the-court news that comes our way. Catch Two-Man Weave with Michael Rappaport and Kenyon Martin every Wednesday from 5 to 7 Eastern on TuneIn.
And now, more of the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by Esurance. Here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Jeff Nelson.
There were 14 games on Wednesday, and to run through the action, we got the best day ever, home run tracker, and statistically speaking. Let's start. Let's get it going. Best day ever. Who do we got?
Best day ever on MLB at the Plate.
All right, who had a better day than everybody else on the mound? Who's your pitcher here, Nelly?
Well, I got to go with Gerrit Cole. You know, going out against a tough lineup in the Nationals, you know, going seven innings and giving up only the one run. You know, I'm going with Gerrit Cole tonight.
All right, here's my guy, and I'm going with him because this was a big night for Justin Wilson of the Tigers. And even though it was a controversial strike three at the end, here's a guy that just got the closer's job from K-Rod. Last night, he gave up a home run to Mark Trumbull in the top of the ninth, which ended up being a loss for the Tigers. You could feel the pressure through the radio here. You could listen to the call, and all the fans there were just oohing and aahing with every single pitch. Justin Wilson getting the save tonight against Baltimore. He's got the best day ever. He's got a couple of Ks. Good for him. What about at the plate? Who's your guys? Is it Hoying?
I'm going to go with Hoying. I was going to go Altuve. You could go with Collins, but I'm going to go with Jared Hoying. You know, 4-for-4, 3 runs scored, 2 RBIs, hits his first major league home run for the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, I'm going to grade on a curve here. Listen, Jose Altuve, we know how great he is. All right, everybody knows how great he is. He had 2 doubles, 2 triples today, but I'm going to grade on a curve. Tyler Collins, literally his best day ever. 3-for-4, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs. Come on, folks. Give it up for a little Tyler Collins action. Let's look at all the home runs from today.
MLB at the Plate home run tracker.
There are quite a few of them. Corey Dickerson got things started. First home run of the day was the hardest hit of the day. 107 miles an hour off the bat, hit one 376. His teammate Lomo, Logan Morrison, 423, and Jesus Sucre hit one 426. Bradley Zimmer's first major league home run with the Cleveland Indians, 397 feet. Michael Conforto blasted one 367, and Jake Lamb went 378. Juan Lagares of the Mets, 378. 417 for Lagares, 103 off the bat. Eduardo Nunez, 373 for the Giants. Chris Herman's walk-off in the 11th to beat the Mets for the Diamondbacks, 448. Longest home run of the day, left the bat at 105 miles an hour. Tyler Collins' first home run went 416 feet. His second went 379, hit his first one 104 miles an hour. His second one left the bat at 95. Kurt Suzuki of the Braves hit one 414. Dexter Fowler of the Cardinals, 422. Justin Smokes went 395. Josh Bell's eighth of the year went 398. Aaron Hicks crushed one for the Yankees, a three-run job that went 390 feet. Salvador Perez of the Royals, 445, 105 exit velo. Jared Hoying, your best day ever there, Nelly, of the Texas Rangers, 377. Whit Merrifield's of the Royals went 430. Jackie Bradley Jr. crushed one, 105 off the bat, 441. Michael Saunders hit one 379. Jose Abreu, 424. And that pitch was like 3 inches off the ground. He crushed that ball. And Jose Bautista, his home run went 407 feet. His bat flip went approximately 10.4 feet. So good one there for Jose nice. Bautista. Let's look a little deeper into the numbers in a segment we call
Statistically Speaking.
All right, we know Jose Altuve was the first player with two triples and two doubles in a long time since the since 2005. And that's when Carl Crawford did it, way back in 05. Jose Altuve, just the third since 1913. Third player with four extra base hits, no runs in the same game. Willie Jones in 1949, Matt Merton in 06. Think about that, Nelly. A guy doubles two times, triples two times, didn't even score a run.
So, wow, that's pretty hard to do
right
there.
It is interesting. Following start today, Clayton Kershaw has an ERA of 1.29 at AT&T Ballpark, third lowest at a history in a single ballpark, minimum 10 starts. So that's impressive. Lance McCullers Jr., first Astros pitcher with three straight road starts of six or more innings and no earned runs since Roger Clemens did it back in 05. He did four straight games. Lance McCullers, great on the road.
Wow.
Rays set a franchise record for most home runs in a three-game series with 10. Previous high was 9 home runs, both of which occurred back in 2013. They also struck out 40 times in that three-game series. So, but that's what they do,
nothing.
Right?
All or nothing.
That's their offense, all or nothing offense. Let's see here. Clayton Kershaw, 20 wins against San Francisco and Colorado. Only other active pitchers with 20-plus wins versus multiple clubs. Can you name one of them? Don't worry about it. Justin Verlander, CC Sabathia, Bartolo Colon. I should have just said go with really old guys.
Wow.
Yep. 20 wins against both the Giants and the Rockies. Clubs
incredible.
Have scored at least 5 runs in 24 of their last 26 games against the Reds. Zach Cozart has a 5-game home run streak at Wrigley. Nobody has hit one in 6 straight, so the next time he has an at-bat there, we'll see if he could do it. Jason Vargas allowed as many runs in 4 innings tonight against the Yankees as he did in his previous 44 and two-thirds innings the entire season. Gave up 6 runs tonight.
Well, you jump up a full run. What did he start? 1.01, and now he's at 2.01?
Skyrocketing up the ERA charts.
It is. It was all smoke and mirrors there through the first 6-7 starts.
Here we go. Here's a great name. Magnaris Sierra has a hit in each of his first 7 major league games. Only Cardinals player in modern era with a longer streak to begin a career. Homer Smoot in 1902. I have no idea who Homer Smoot is.
Yeah, and the Rangers are going to probably wind up sending him out. I think somebody's coming off, or actually the Cardinals. Somebody's going to come off the DL, isn't it? Maybe Piscotty?
Somebody, yeah, he's probably going to go back down there. But
21 years old, got off to a great start.
Well, we were talking about this. Wasn't I on with you when he came up? They were down taking on the Florida Marlins, right? And here's a guy. By the way, Sierra had never played above – high A ball. He was in the Florida State League.
Right, right.
And he was right down the road. I mean, they called him up. He's got a hit in every single one of these games. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. He was in rookie league ball in 2013, 14, and part of 15. And last year he played in full A, and this year's in advanced A. So, young guy, 21 years old, and Magnaris Sierra is having a nice start. By the way, Homer Smoot, he played from 1902 to 1906. So, hopefully, Magnaris Sierra can play a little longer than Homer Smoot did.
Have a little longer career, yeah.
Yeah, good luck, kid. Jose Abreu, 7 homers on the road, all on the road, all of his home runs on the road. First White Sox players whose first 7 home runs came on the road since Frank Thomas did it in 1996. That smells like a Christopher Komka stat if I ever smelled one. Xander Bogaerts, 2 triples against the Cardinals. Last Red Sox shortstop with 2 triples in a game, Johnny Pesky in 1947.
Wow.
Zach Cozart's home run was hit at 91 miles an hour and at a 36-degree launch angle. That combination has never been a home run before and has been a hit only 1% of the time. There was wind in Wrigley Field, by the way. That's probably why.
Helped him out a little bit, only 91 miles an hour, a little wall scraper.
Yep. And with the loss today, the Mets have their longest winless road trip since 1999, which is interesting because they were a playoff team that year.
Yeah, who'd they lose to the...
Braves.
Yeah, that's right.
They lost to the Braves all the time. Yep, all the time. Then they got to the World Series the next year, and you guys beat them.
They lose then, too.
Would you beat them at 5, right? Game 5. Yeah, I remember that.
Were you really?
Yeah.
All right.
Of course. Yeah, I've been to every Mets. Well, you know what? Not every. I went to the 86 World Series, and I went to the 2000 World Series for the Mets. And then, you know, the last time they went a couple years ago, I didn't bother, and I wasn't alive in 69 or 73. So there you go. That's my Mets World Series.
Trivia.
Trivia, yeah. Which ones have I been to? That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast presented by Esurance. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight for MLB at the Plate. During the daily 5-hour show, you not only hear all of what you heard in the podcast, you also have the chance to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Abe and Dustin in the LA studio and Jeff Nelson alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner. We'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by Esurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in. Your everything audio app.